The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
This is Andy. Welcome to the Netball Show with Flyhawk. A huge game this weekend taking place at the AO Arena as Manchester Thunder face Leeds Rhinos. The aim is to make it the biggest attendance for a Super League game, and we hear that there's already 4,000 tickets sold. If you go and get there early, make sure you don't miss the opener that sees Spartans face Knights. That's going to be taking place at 4 o'clock. First up, I've been speaking to Thunder's Nat Metcalf on the season so far. Nat, really good to speak to you. We've recently seen the Flyhawk Choice Beats tradition launch. So how important is it really that Flyhawk are doing something like this?
Massively important. I'm really proud to be an ambassador for Flyhawk. So I think to have the launch and the Choice Beach Tradition campaign is just massively exciting. I know the day when we were there doing the photo shoot and all the videos for it was just incredible to be a part of that. And I think the work that Steph and everyone at Flyhawk have done to make the game more inclusive and try and break down some of them barriers is just something I'm really proud to be a part of.
And they are that purely focused netball brand as well. It's all to do and very much about playing netball in kit that you're comfortable in.
Yeah, absolutely. I know with netball itself, it's always been played in a dress, which could be really empowering for a lot of people, and it is in so many ways, but also it could be a barrier for others. So I think for Flyhawk to offer an inclusive range of kit that you can mix a shorts and a t-shirt with a dress, with leggings and a top, I think it's, yeah, really trying to aim to break down those barriers and get loads of participation in the sport, which is what we all want to see.
What about the impact of Lanise?
Yeah, she's been great. I think just having her with us, and not just on court but off court too. She's got a great personality. She's working really hard for us at Thunder, and I'm enjoying finding that connection and being able to feed a new shooter. And I think she's just what she brings to the team, and seeing her like shine for us is really cool.
And having somebody like that in and around training as well, has she brought plenty to your game as well?
Oh yeah, she's very like good with her communication on court, so encouraging us to tell us where to put the ball if she's not happy with where the placement on the pass and things like that. And I think that's a really healthy place to be, and having that relationship between us as feeders and shooters, it's really important, especially when you've not been playing together for a very long time. You've got to build them connections really quickly. So yeah, she's got loads of experience, and I know Ruby and Harriet and Lois are all learning from her as well in the circle, so we're really lucky to have her.
Is the top four bunch, which is obviously Thunderpulse, Storm and Lightning, as you expected at the start of the season? I mean, it's really exciting as we head toward the back end.
It really is, isn't it? I mean, the top four keeps changing. Fifth and sixth are really close to that as well. So, yeah, I honestly don't think you can call it just yet. We've still got quite a few rounds to go, and we've only just entered the second half of the season. So, yeah, top two keeps flipping. I think it's really exciting. I've heard a lot of chat on Twitter about it, and I think, yeah, it's really cool. It's exciting for the league, exciting for the fans to be a part of it. And I think, yeah, it's just really great to see the sport get more and more competitive here in the UK.
Maybe not just at Thunder, but is there anybody, another squad that's caught your eye and you've been keeping an eye out on? Fran Williams has obviously got a couple of player of the matches recently. Other franchises, other teams that have thought, oh, well, her season's going really well?
Well, yeah, Fran Williams is an absolute legend, and she's up at the top of in all the stats, in deflections, turnovers, intercepts, you name it, she's doing it. And I think she's just in the form of her life. And I've always thought Fran's an incredible player. So if you're listening, Fran, thank you. But no, I think she's absolutely incredible. And not just what she brings on the court, but off the court too. She's a leader.
And people like Jo Tripp as well, her influencer stars, we're beginning to see as well.
Absolutely. Like I said, I think they're sitting in fifth right now and really close to that top four. And I think what you've seen in Stars this year is just incredible. They've gone from strength to strength. I think Ziggy's in the best form of her life. Jess Shaw feeding her so much ball and opportunity in there. So I think what Jo's achieved at Stars and getting the girls to just connect, and because they're quite a new team together, it's really great to see.
Nat, I've got to admit, you sound as enthusiastic today as ever. What is it that keeps you as enthusiastic as it was when you first started out at Ribble?
Oh, I think just the game. I'm really like grateful to be a part of it, and to be able to, have netball as my full-time job is something I'm massively fortunate for. I don't know if like little Nat would have ever thought that that would have been possible. So sports careers, can people can say that they're like short. So I think I'm just trying to enjoy every single moment. I love playing for Thunder. I love being part of the Super League this year, and long may that continue. So yeah, it's just really cool to be part of the Super League and seeing the league here go from strength to strength.
Certainly about keeping your game fresh and obviously learning new things along the way, possibly ahead of the Netball World Cup selection, eh?
Oh, absolutely. I think you've always got to be willing to learn and coachable and adaptable. Yeah, so that's great. With Karen, she's always like keeping me on my toes in the attack end and giving me things that I need to keep working on and things that I'm doing well that I need to keep progressing in as well. So yeah, we're really fortunate that we've got that support around us. And yeah, you want to keep striving for more. You want to keep developing your game, because I'm a definite believer that you don't know everything. And I'm still like keen to learn and develop my game, work on my weaknesses and things like that. So yeah, I want to be able to put myself in the best position to make that England World Cup squad.
We're building up to the Thunder v Rhinos game. Liana Liotta is on the way, but members of Thunder's paranetball team, who recently took bronze in those paranetball championships in February, will also be part of the celebrations on Sunday, waving flags and providing a guard of honour as the players take to court. Katie Thompson is Manchester Thunder's head of paranetball.
I've always had a passion for working with people with disabilities, and I think everyone talks about it being so high on the agenda of how we need to be doing more things for people with disabilities, and it's such a priority. Yet, personally, from speaking from myself, I don't think people are doing enough. Or they're talking the talk, but not walking the walk, should we say. So after I left England Netball, do you know what? I'm going to walk the walk with paranetball and see what I can actually do. If it's something I'm passionate about, and set something up, to which I did back in 2021, setting up paranetball under Domino's Netball Club initially. Ran under them for a year, which was fantastic, having that really community focus, obviously in Gorton and that area around Manchester, ahead of, I guess, Thunder coming along and jumping on the opportunity and seeing where we can take it to kind of wider audiences as well.
Domino's, like you said, were the first paranetball club back in 2021. So you'll be pleased how that developed and how they've grown.
Absolutely. So yeah, so obviously it's the first one in the Northwest itself, which I know as a club, Domino's and myself, really, really proud of, given we know there's the amount of people living with disabilities in the country, but especially in the Northwest, is quite significant and a lot higher than people probably realise. I think from Domino's, which is my club I play for myself as well, having that such community focus, which they've always had, running opportunities from juniors as young as they come to seniors, they do back to netball and stuff, and then adding that paranetball element to the club, it was an incredible opportunity for everyone involved to know that, you know, we're not just doing one thing or another thing, we're trying to attract different audiences to give as many people the opportunity as possible, you know, who may not always have it. It's just been fantastic having a little bit of support from initially Domino's and then Thunder jumping on the back of that as well to kind of push it further and wider afield.
Gary, if I can bring you in, how important has that sponsorship been from Nichols, and what's that investment brought to the Paris Netball side of things already?
Yeah, so I think that it's providing mechanisms to put more structure, you know, to actually enable us to take it to different levels, really, Andy. So, you know, in terms of, yes, it provides for courts and it provides for equipment and facilities, but it's also in terms of how we can then use that to actually go out into new areas. So we're having conversations with other areas of the Northwest and talking about how we can build hubs throughout the region. So it isn't just about Greater Manchester, it's about expanding the remit, being able to actually move into other areas and really make this, that isn't just something which is Manchester Thunder in Manchester, it's across the whole region. And I think the key thing associated with that, that's our overall community strategy about bringing in people into the Thunder family. And I think Thunder, we've always been known as elite netball in the Northwest and, you know, across the UK. But what we're increasingly looking to do is increase our community engagement, bringing people so they actually feel part of that. We're being an inclusive club. And, you know, on the back of that, I think that's at the heart of who we are as an organisation and how we're actually going to grow as a club as well. So the funding from VIMTO and the wider support that they give us is absolutely key to enable us to actually do that, because we all know that there's not enough funds available within netball for everything that, you know, that we'd like to do to fully achieve our potential. And, you know, them getting on board and the support that they're providing, both in funds and, you know, and wider support in terms of the promotion of the activity, I think it's going to take it to a new level. And they signed an initial 3-year agreement. This wasn't just something that they just wanted to do something for a year. They wanted to build a long-term partnership. And in reality, that's, they're very much viewing it as, this is the initial 3 years. What can we do with this? How do we actually reach the communities of the Northwest and ideally make para-netball something which is, as Katie alludes to, is a high priority across not just the Northwest, but across the whole of the UK, and enable para-netball to achieve its potential?
To put it quite simply, there aren't opportunities out there. There's the odd one, but there really aren't the opportunities out there when people can specifically give the focus and, I guess, the attention they need in certain sessions. You look at many clubs across different sports, as well as in netball, you know, say we're an inclusive club, I would hammer down on that. Are you really inclusive, or are you saying it because you think you have to say it? In the sense that I know, and I could name a few clubs now, there are clubs who definitely are inclusive, and regardless of someone's disability or ability, depends how you look at it, will come and they join in kind of their regular sessions. But I think some clubs that would say they're inclusive, for example, a young person came who was severely autistic, for example, would they feel included and give that attention they would need in that session as that they probably need to have or want to have? And I think where our session obviously is specialised towards people living with disabilities, the parents can really see that every single one of our volunteer coaches that is involved is so passionate about what they do, and they want to make sure everyone, no matter what their disability is, gets that attention and opportunity they need. No one feels judged, no one feels left out. Everyone's included based on what they can do, not what they can't do. And I guess that's where it goes back to when I say about, you know, we focus on the ability within the word disability, because many a times I think people look at it and think, well, they can't do that, or so-and-so can't do that. Well, actually, they can. And have you tried to do it with them? And if they can't do that, that's okay. Well, what can they do? And we'll enable that. So if someone struggles with one thing and someone excels with another thing, we'll make it work so everyone feels involved by doing the same activity at their own level and their own pace. And I think as parents, they realise this is what they need. And they say, to see their children running around, making friends, socialising and being involved themselves is great, because a lot of the times some of the young people have different siblings who might, I don't know, go off to different sports or different activity groups a lot. They're kind of left out without them. And that's, I guess, the other thing that we have always put out there, that if siblings who don't have disabilities want to join in, they absolutely can. What we don't want is people and parents, etc., to have to make a decision. Do I take sibling A, who may not have a disability, to their stuff on the Saturday morning? Or shall I actually prioritise sibling B, who may have the disability, and actually sibling A can join in with them, so they feel included rather than this is for you and this is for me? So we focus on that as well, which I think has made a difference with building confidence of some of these young people, having their sibling attend the session as well.
So much work that needs to be done and for this. How can we get it changed? That's the main thing, isn't it? It's just
absolutely about kind of growing the game in general. I think, you know, again, this is where Thunder and Vimto really help with this, is growing that exposure for the game and what people are doing. I know, well, I'm sure Gary can allude to it, other franchises have been in contact, saying what a great thing. That's what we hope from this. We don't want to be, we're the only person who can do it, why are they copying us? We're doing this because if it means other people jump on the bandwagon, so to speak, and want to do para netball in their own areas, absolutely, we'd love that, because that means there's more exposure for para netball as a whole. One of the parents said to me, I actually tweeted about this at the end of the session we had last week, where we were lucky enough that the England Roses were training next to us. So they came in and spoke to us, had a photo, etc. And one of the parents, who two of their children both are deaf, they would join in, and he said, what, you know, what's the pathway for para netball? You know, is there that level where they could play for England, etc.? And obviously, honestly, I think you and I both know right now there isn't. Longer term, that would be something I would dream and love to see happen down the line. But with that, you need more people buying in, more people doing the same thing. And I guess ultimately more people believing in what you're doing and sharing that passion for that, because it is a game that I think can grow. We all know funding's a huge thing in sport in general, and England got the focus where they need to put the money. But I think there's a lot more parties that can take part in this to help build it to where it needs to. I think with exposure, that will allow more people to take part, you know, if the opportunities are put on elsewhere across the country. And through that, then just build the game slowly at the level it needs to go. But I think longer term, that's where I dream, that there is more opportunities and more people taking part, to be honest, and people jumping on and doing the same thing as we're doing. And absolutely, I'd love to have conversations with people who are quite keen to replicate something similar across the country, because obviously I can see front hand, and anyone who's come to our sessions can see what the impact is of that session and the feel good factor, which is not why I do it, but the feel good factor after leaving those sessions, kind of every session we go to, are just fantastic, not only for yourself, but what you can see it gives the person taking part in the family as well.
ManchesterThunder.co.uk/paranetball for more. Time now to hear from Rhinos head coach Liana Liotta, and what has she made of their season so far?
Yeah, I've got two minds on it. When I turn back and reflect on the first half, a lot of the structures and stuff I've implemented on the girls have all been new. Most training sessions, I'm trying to bring new ideas and things that they haven't really done before. So I also need to think about their development whilst they're trying to learn new things. It's hard to implement those at the same time. So I have been proud. There have been moments where I've seen like glimpses of what I want to see on the court. We just need a bit more consistency, but that will come with time. I know that I always knew this job would be tough for the first year, maybe year and a half, until the girls find their feet and we find the brand and style that we really want to play. So no, I think two sides of it. On a personal note, probably frustrated because of me and just where I've come from and what I've achieved, but then when I reflect properly, there's been huge gains, and we're sort of moving in an upward trajectory, but just slower than I thought.
And when we look at Rhino's squad last year compared to now, you almost having to build afresh and just like you said, get a team together that's going to get used to how each of the play.
Yeah. So when I got the role, my first thought was, how do I want to play? How do I want Leeds Rhinos to be known as? And when I thought about, I knew I wanted a target shooter because top four teams, they've got a target shooter that can score quickly. But what they didn't have in the Super League was a rotating circle. So I went for players that we had the target shooter, but then we could also play a rotating circle. So I'm still learning how to play with that and what works well with that. But then also, when I think about it defensively, I got a group that I knew could hunt ball early, win ball early. But then we also had, I suppose, like in Nicholas Smith, the tall goalkeeper that could contest those tall target goal shoot. So once I knew who I wanted and what jobs I wanted, those are the people I went after. But that sort of hasn't come to fruition. As you all know, we lost our South African student injury. They're not even back on court yet. So yeah, that's been a hard one to take. But yeah, for me, when I first started, I was looking at the style and brand I wanted Leeds Rhinos to play and finding those players that fitted that mould.
But certainly having the likes of Ellie and Caroline in the squad has helped, and that's been a real boost.
Yeah, no, all the middies, I think they've been great. They were real workhorses. Most of them are really experienced. And I've even been really pleased with Rosie Harris. She's an athletic girl. Done triathlons, and she's been out of the game for a couple of years and slowly finding her feet. So no, the middies, yeah, as I said, when I was looking for them, I was looking for ones that had big engines that could run, because I knew their jobs would be big. And yeah, no, I'm really glad that I've got Caroline, Nia and Al, all great experienced leaders that are just trying to mold the young ones around them.
We maybe don't see the individual training sessions as much as you do, but Is there anybody that stands out on a week-by-week basis?
There's probably a couple individuals that stand out every week. I think for me, Vicky Oyosola, her performance has spoken for her. She's just in a different mindset. I think got a full-time job, so it's just balancing that work-playing lifestyle. But every game, she's been a man of the match. She's turning over 10 to 12 intercepts in some games. So yeah, I think for me personally, and that's in training too, her work ethic which just at the start tries trying to keep her injury free. She had a few concussions due to a few friendlies, but now that she's on track, she's been really good. But also Paige Reed, I think she's slowly and quietly coming about her work. She's getting a
last
bit
couple
more,
of weeks, I'd suggest.
Just a bit more experience. She's letting ball go. Yeah, she's got a different style to what most goal attacks have. So yeah, no, those two are probably key for me.
The fact that Lanise is playing over here, and it just goes to show that finally the Super League is really attracting some of the world's best.
Yeah, and I think that's been the most exciting thing. And I even think next year will probably be even more exciting because it's the end of a four-year cycle. You know, people will start leaving their home countries to explore or no longer be in their national team. So, no, I'm excited. There's been so much move and change that this year you don't know who's going to win. And that's probably the most exciting thing about it. And you can see the top of the table, even middle of the table, it's up and down all the time. So, no, I think this season's been the most exciting season I've been a part of anyway.
I have to ask, it is perhaps the wrong end of the table that Rhinos are at. I'm quite surprised that Bath are around there as well, though, aren't you?
Yeah, it's a hard one. I suppose Bath had a lot of personnel changes. Lost Tash pretty early, so they're rebuilding.
It's certainly been mixed scorelines throughout the season. Is there anything that you've reviewed and looked back and thought, well, it maybe didn't go our way, but yeah, I've been pleased with our performance. Any game that stood out?
Thunder and Loughborough Lightning, they were back to back, and we competed for three and a half quarters in both of those games. So no, I was really pleased with that, but then it's just been the drop off. We haven't come to the party when we've played, you know, those less established teams. So what was it about Thunder and Loughborough? You know, I know probably we didn't have any pressure, they're the top two teams. I mean, we just went out and played and we were really fearless. But then when we play teams of equal ability, I feel like our girls feel there's so much pressure. But for me, I just want them to go out there and enjoy it, play with that freedom, courage to go on things and try things. I think that's been a huge word that comes out of my mouth all the time, just courage, because I'd rather you try and fail than not try at all. So, yeah, those have probably been my biggest learnings this year as a coach.
It's been really nice as well that Rhinos have got out in and around Yorkshire as well. So that's been good, and nice support regardless of different home venues.
Yeah, I think the support's been amazing. You know, we've been around to three different venues at the moment and the crowds have been loud. The atmosphere is awesome. There's times when I can't hear myself. I'm trying to send messages out to the girls and I'm yelling and they can't even hear a thing. So, yeah, no, I think we do have great supporters. I think we still need to get out and about a bit more. For me, community is everything. I grew up in a small rural area where everything was about the community, trying to get out, give back. And so that's huge for me. If we establish ourselves and put ourselves into the community, you know, we're all one and we can move forward together. We can't just be sitting by ourselves as netball. And that's what Leeds Rhinos is all about. The rugby league side, everything's about family first, whether you're a player, a fan, a supporter, a volunteer, you know, we're all one.
Final question for me. Is Nia like that all the time?
Yeah. but that's good because I think this next generation coming through, they're not resilient. You know, if pressure comes, they hide, a lot of them. So for me, having leaders like her, Alan, Caroline, they're running straight at fearless. Like, they're running straight towards that. Where some of our girls that are younger and learning will probably shy away or hide or look for others to lead. So for me, it's great that they do that every single training, every single game. They demand more because it can only bring those younger ones on that journey with them.
Got to share the fact that we're going to be giving away tickets to see this year's Fast Five tournament taking place at the Copper Box. And I'm really glad it's back for 2023. Follow them now on Twitter if you're not already. Fast5AllStars.com. Fast and then the number 5, AllStars. Your chance to win tickets here on the Netball Show very soon. Thank you as always for your support. You can send us a DM with news and information. It's going on at your club. We're at the Netball Show on Twitter. Or email info@thenetballshow.co.uk.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky HD, Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sport and we're on the podcasts rail.